Well, it's hard to follow last Sunday's act. It was good preaching by, I call him Mr. Famous Name, Dick Clark. I love that name. I love teasing him. And you young people may not understand that, but Dick Clark was pretty famous on TV and things, and so I like to tease him. It's kind of interesting. My dad's name was Clark, and one of his brothers was named Dick. But that also makes me kind of want to go over and tease him as well. But praise the Lord for that. I'd like to praise the Lord, first of all. I know there's a lot going on. They just called me this afternoon and readmitted my mom into the hospital, so keep her in your prayer. Her name is Ruth, and my parents were the candy bar family, Clark and Ruth. So just pray for them. And she's just having trouble getting oxygen to her lungs. They're scarred up and everything, so I'm concerned about her. But she had a nice smile on her face. I got to see her a little on the cell phone. I had my nephew in there, my late sister's son, and he was in there with her, and he was allowed to go in because he'd had his shots. Nobody else in my family has the shots, and so they weren't allowed in there to see her. But she's basically in there because, I hate to say it, somebody with COVID, two people with COVID, came to the house, and they gave her the virus. But they're sweet friends of hers, and now they're, pray for them too. Kathy and Carl, they're fighting for their life in the hospital right now as well. So just keep them in your prayers. And the Lord is in charge of everything, so I'm going to leave it there. But I'm going to give you a little story here, a little, share a little humor with you, and you'll kind of know where I'm going with the sermon today. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence, but the pastor asked me 2 weeks ago if I'd preach. So I said, you know what, I want to get something fresh. I want to think of something fresh to preach about. And so I started reading the scriptures and things, and I got over in Isaiah, and I read something in Isaiah, and I liked what I saw, and we're going to look at that tonight, and then we're going to see what God says about it. And I want to encourage you tonight. The last time I preached here, or either the last time or the time before, I talked about giving thanks for everything and thanking the Lord for everything, and that includes your food, everything that you do. Well, we're going to do something a little different, but I think we ought to do this all the time as well, according to the scriptures. Now, there was a lady that was on a porch. She was a poor lady down in the city, and she'd come out every morning after she'd get up in the morning and things, and the first thing she wanted to do was just shout out, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Unfortunately, across from her was an atheist who would always say, "Why are you praising the Lord? There's no God, there's no God," like that. And so every day she'd come out, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And he'd say, "Why are you praising the Lord? There's no God." And it'd go on and on. Well, one day this poor old lady was running out of money and she didn't have any food. And she says, "I don't have a lot of food, but I want to praise the Lord. Lord, send me some food." And he yelled out, "There is no God. You'll never get any food." So one day she comes out there a couple days after doing that, and there are all these groceries on the porch. And she is amazed by all of it. And she says, "Thank you, God, for the food. Thank you, God, for the food." And the atheist pops out behind a tree and says, "It wasn't God that gave you that food. It was me." And then she turned around and looked at him and says, "Praise God, praise God. Use the devil's money to pay for it." So we need to praise the Lord and thank him for things, no matter what our situation is. And I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah 12. We're going to see this. Now, this chapter is not what you think it is, maybe when you first see it, or who it is. But I'm going to read the whole chapter. Don't be alarmed if you haven't got there yet. It's only 6 verses. Isaiah. It says in verse 1, it says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou was angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, the great, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at you and as we talk about praising you tonight, I pray that you'll speak to every heart. I pray that you'll encourage us to praise you in our lives. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care how bad it gets. Dear Heavenly Father, we are to praise you and lift you up. So speak to us, encourage us. Help us be a church that's alive because we love you and we care for you and because we praise you. Now, Lord, be with me tonight as I bring the word. In Jesus' name, amen. A little boy went to church with his daddy. He thought it was a good service, and that night while he was praying, he said, "Lord, I went to church with my daddy. I wish you could have been there. I think it's a shame if somebody comes to church and they're new and they're fresh and they come to church and they see a church and it seems like it's dead. It seems like it has no life. It seems like it's everyone is in there because they have to be, but not necessarily because they want to be." Folks, we don't want to become a church like that. We want to be a church that's willing to say amen. We want a church that people are smiling because they love the Lord. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if you become thankful for the things of God all the time and you praise His name all the time. Charles Jefferson said this: if Christians would praise God more, the world would doubt Him less. What we are seeing in these verses, though, is I want you to understand this. These are the converted Jews during the millennium. This is future. The converted Jews in the millennium. And they have learned the hard way from God's anger and chastening during the church age. That word anger in the scriptures that we are looking at is talking about God's wrath. God's wrath. We know about the Jews. If you've been in school or maybe or your parents may have told you and everything, we know that from being in church. The Jews have had a tough time since they rejected the Messiah. And they will continue to have a tough time until the millennium. Now, this probably does include the Holocaust. Back in 1941 through 1945, they would take the Jews, the Nazis, and all their compadres, and they would slaughter them. And they slaughtered over 16 million Jews during that time. The Nazis would collaborate with others, and they killed them in a brutal way by mass shootings, by gas chambers, by van chambers and other brutal means, and it's not all worth talking about, but what you get the picture, the Jews have had a tough time. People have hated the Jews since the very beginning, and Satan hates the Jews as well. No doubt this includes the tribulation period, also known as the 70th week of Daniel. 144,000 Jews are going to preach in the millennium. Have you ever seen the news on TV, rockets go firing into Israel, but Israel retaliates, but the press makes them look like the bad guys all the time? That's what happens. The Jews are hated by the world, but God still protects them. He's used the United States probably a lot in protecting them, but who knows what's going to happen here shortly in the future. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Keep your place here because we're coming back here. Matthew chapter 24. And look at verses 21 and 22 with me. For then shall be great tribulation such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And luckily, God's going to intervene in here. It says, and except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It's going to be a terrible time during the tribulation. The Jews have been beaten on, they've been attacked, they've been at war. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of Jews have died because of people hating them. And that is all because they rejected the Messiah. I want you to turn to Zechariah with me. Zechariah 13, please. Zechariah 13. If you see Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, go left. I think Haggai is before it, but Zechariah 13. And I want you to look at verses 8 and 9. This is during the tribulation period, and I'd like to say this. A lot of Jews are going to be killed during this time as well. They're going to be killed during this time. Look at verses 8 through 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, this may be talking about the whole population of the earth, but this seems to be dead set on talking about the Jews. And two-thirds of the Jews will die, it looks like to me, in the tribulation. You know, there are 13.5 million Jews today. 6 million are in Israel. That's a lot of Jews. They're going to die during the tribulation. All because of what we read in the verse chapter of Isaiah, the wrath of God is upon them. The wrath of God is upon them. I do not want the wrath of God on me. I'll tell you that. But I do say this. The Jews rejected the Lord. I'm looking at people that have not rejected Christ. Thank God, when they rejected Christ, salvation was open to the Gentiles. And we were able to receive Christ. And now we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you're in here and saved and you received Christ. If you're listening to me and you've not ever trusted Jesus Christ, let me just say this. You're a sinner, and He is holy. And nothing you can do can reach His holiness. And that's why Jesus Christ came down and died on the cross and shed His blood, because the Bible says without the blood, there's no remission of sin. God has accepted His sacrifice, His perfect sacrifice. And all you got to do is receive Him as your personal Savior. Don't be foolish and die without Him. Don't foolish and face the wrath of God like the Jews. This wrath on the Jews is nothing compared to the wrath you'll face when you spend eternity in hell. Do not go there. Now, what I want us to see tonight is God deserves all praise. If you'd go back to Isaiah chapter 12. Or I'm sorry, 12. Notice in verse 1 it says, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I go bowling sometimes with the guys and stuff like that. Ben's here and everything. So Ben, after I get done preaching this today, when I throw the ball down there and I get a split and I know I can't get a spare, I'm going to have to praise the Lord because I don't want to get angry about it and things, and I don't want to ruin the day. But we have an obligation to praise Him with all our being. Can I say this? Good or bad, we need to praise the Lord. I got a daughter. I don't know if she's going to make it in the hospital. Mom, I don't know if she's going to make it in the hospital. I don't know. I had a lot of bad things happen this week. Things flooding in the house, toilets being backed up, and everything else. But you know what? I'm supposed to praise the God, Lord, for everything. I almost wished I maybe would have went to a different thing to preach on so that I could have avoided some of this stuff. But I want to say, praise the Lord. I'm prepared for anything. I know that He's in charge. But I do know He says I'm supposed to pray. I do know that He's in charge. And that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. There is a saying, the hardest thing in the world to do is fall on some slippery ice and get back up and say, praise God. Because I'll tell you, when you hit slippery ice, it hurts. I don't care who you are. We praise what we enjoy, but do you praise like you should? Do you praise like you should? Psalms 103:1 says, all that is within me, bless His holy name. In verse 1, God was angry in our reading. Then His anger went away, and then His comfort came. And this is a fact, my Christian life. I am happiest when I'm in the will of God. I feel His comfort then. I feel His peace in all situations. And that's what happens when we're walking with the Lord and we're praising Him. We need to praise God. Psalms 44:8 says, "In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." Now, if I'm reading that right, that means there's no time for us to boast. No time for us to talk about ourselves and what we've done. We're supposed to be praising Him and lifting Him up. The reason we don't is because sometimes we're full of ourselves. We're full of ourselves, and we need to get rid of ourselves, and everything in our life should be about the Lord. Bad things are going to happen to you if you're born again, loving the Lord. Chastening's coming that day, and I hope when the Lord chastens you, you're going to be able to make it back. I hope you'll repent and make it back with the Lord. We need to praise Him all the time. And I've learned one thing. Most people don't care what I've done. They don't care what I've done. I sometimes learn things about each and every one of you, and I go, wow, I never knew that. But I'll tell you one thing. If you come over to my house and you want to feel good about yourself, just come on over. And anybody that's ever been to my house knows if you get around Mrs. Wheels, she's going to ask you 100 questions. I'm like this by the time she gets done when people or guests are over, because she just doesn't stop asking questions. But she'll make you feel good about yourself. Showing interest in people is a lost art because we're so self-consumed with ourselves. By the way, when you're self-consumed with yourself, you will not praise God like you're supposed to. That's just a fact. I hate to be straightforward, but that's just a fact. We've got to come to church here to worship God, sing music to the Lord, but we got to come here because preaching is supposed to be king, and listen to what God and the Holy Spirit have to say to our hearts, no matter who's up here. If they're preaching to God, preaching the Word of God, there's some gold nugget out of that preaching that you can get if your heart is here and you're in the right condition to hear the Word of God. In Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 3, it says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid of the Lord. Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall I draw water out of the wells of salvation." In this verse, we see a wonderful truth. God is my salvation. He is our strength. He is our song. And He is our salvation, according to the Scriptures. When it comes to talking about strength, I think of Ephesians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Bad or good, if I'm in the will of God, I should be able to praise the Lord. I shouldn't be coming to church bringing a bunch of baggage with me. I should be coming here to praise the Lord and lift Him up and to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a Thanksgiving dinner in an old nursing home. And you can learn a lot of things, young people, from older people, I'm telling you. But this case is a little different. But they're asked to say one thing about praising God during Thanksgiving, what they're thankful for. And some old lady got up there, and I'll try to imitate her a little bit. She goes, she's 93 years old. She goes, "I just want to thank God for this one tooth in my gum and the one that's directly under it. Praise God for that, because I can chew my food." Folks, that's praising God. She looks at her two teeth and sees a blessing from God. Sometimes we don't look for those gold nuggets that we should be praising God for. I want to say this, and I'm not trying to brag or anything else. I'm trying to be as humble as I can. I praise God that I have two grandkids up here singing in the choir. I really do. I praise God for it. I hope they'll continue to do it wherever they go, wherever they serve. And then He is our song. Now, when I was putting this together, I was thinking about all the musicians in the Old Testament and all those things that they play in the Old Testament. Now, you musicians may know every one of those little things that they played, but I don't have half of them in there, those instruments that they talk about. I just read them and try to say them right, and then I just move on. But they play those music. But there is one particular person that I'm thinking of, a musician in the Old Testament that probably most of you would pick if you were up here, and that is David. I want to go to heaven, and I want to hear David play the harp. I want to hear him play the harp. I think of Samuel 16:23, where it says, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took the harp and played with his hands. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. That must have been some fine playing. That's all I can say. And it was also because David was living for the Lord. Yes, it does. Now, me and music, we don't get along. And I was writing this, I was thinking about something. Music, I have no rhythm. Now, Pastor, you don't have to say anything out loud if you don't want to, but I just wanted to ask this out in public. Did you have any rhythm when you were, even before you were saved? Could he dance?
I could cut a rug.
Could you, buddy? Oh, wow. Okay. I can't dance worth a flip. I got no rhythm at all. I honestly don't. I can't memorize words. You know, most of the time when you're leading a singing, brother, I'm just lipping stuff out there and just saying stuff. I use my own words. My wife will do that. She'll look up at me like this sometimes, like she knows I'm not singing the right thing. I just want to praise the Lord and sing. I can't remember them. Besides that, I don't know half the archaic words in there and everything. I just want to make a happy noise for the Lord. I have no musical talent. My dad, because he moved so many times, I was always getting in fights in school because I had to make my way through the school and I had to play on all the sports teams, and that usually led to me taking somebody else's position, and that usually led up some conflicts. And he was trying to get me to calm down, and he thought, well, I'll make you play music. And I said, I ain't playing no music. I'm not going to be. Yes, you are. When my dad finally steps his foot down and says, you have to, you've got to. So I ended up playing a clarinet, believe it or not. But now, only because it was in the house and they didn't have to pay for one. There were too many kids, couldn't afford one, so they played the clarinet. So just to give you a little bit of a heads up about this, Miss Wills over there, which I didn't even know at the time in 7th and 8th grade, she was over there in the upper band, I think always fighting for first and second, were you, sweetie? I think so. And I was in the lower band, last place, last chair. That's how terrible I was. Now, I would tell you something, but I don't think I will because I don't want you to feel bad. But then I feel like I've got to. The only way I got through that class was, and I was dirty, is that they made it easy for me. You go into a room, you sit down, push a button, and say, I'm Jeff Wills, and you start playing. So I paid a guy $5 to go in here, and I'd go, Jeff Wills, and then he'd play. And then when it came to the final exam, he said, I want $10. Well, $10 is a ton of money back then. I said, you're playing for $5, or I'm going to take you back here, and I'm going to beat the puss out of you. And he said, okay, I'll play. So I said, you only got to do it one more time. So that's how I got through there. I'm ashamed of that, but I wanted to pass the class, and I'm sorry, and I've repented of that. I probably shouldn't even bring it up. Apologize. I hated that thing with a passion. And see, I've lost my place. I'm so disturbed by that. Yeah, praise the class, praise the Lord. Finally, Jesus is our salvation. Israel at time can be a dry and weary land, and our lives can be a dry and weary land sometimes. For a lot of people now, right now it is. It is. But can I say this? Jesus is always the well that produces fresh, reviving, eternal water that produces eternal salvation. And if we would just grab a hold of that, even during our bad times, we will praise the Lord. And then finally, I want you to look at verses 4 through 6 with me. It says, and in all the day shall you say, praise the Lord, which is what we're talking about. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. The words in here make mention. They are powerful words. In the Hebrew, it means cause it to happen. Cause it to happen. And what is supposed to happen? We are supposed to lift up Jesus' holy name. God said it. Make it happen, brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to stay on fire for the Lord. Let's praise his name in the services. Let's get behind our pastor and he's reaching the word. And let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. Forget about everything else in life. Forget about your positions in the church. Just come in here and hear the word of God. Lift him up. Tell others. And what are we talking about tonight? We need to praise his holy name. You know, the Gentiles are the biggest proclaimers of the gospel right now. We are the biggest proclaimers of the gospel. But in the millennium, I believe it will be the ones based on 4 verses 6, where it talks about, look at verse 6. It says, "Cry out, the inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel, and in the midst of thee." The inhabitant of Zion refers to those living in Jerusalem. The Holy One, of course, is in, and Holy One is listed 31 times in the scriptures as referring to Jehovah God. And the Holy One indeed is Christ. And we know that in the millennium period, the Jews, as well as us, will be praising his name. But during the millennium, they'll probably be the ones preaching the word of God to the lost. They're going to be doing it. We're going to probably be with him, praising him and lifting up his name. So now is the time for you to witness to others and tell others about Christ. For us to stay on track when it comes to leading people to the Lord and trusting that they will get saved. Max isn't here tonight, but I just wanted to tell everybody this because it's amazing, and I just want to tell it because I was praising God even this afternoon about it. Max, I could tell he was eager to talk about something to somebody. And apparently when the storms came through, and I'm probably not going to tell exactly, but lightning came through and hit the tree between his house and his neighbors. And his neighbor's lady over there, an older lady, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in the Bible or anything else, but the lights went out. And for some reason, maybe he hadn't talked to her in a while, she came over and she needed to help his help because she needed to get a hold of somebody and everything. And she said, "By the way, Max, I'm reading my Bible. I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I know I'm going to heaven." And I said, "Praise the Lord." And that was something to get to praise the Lord about. And I'm sure Max's testimony and his courage to speak out for the Lord had a lot to do with that. It's great when you see members in the church making a difference. You guys over here, you made a big difference on VBS. These people that got saved and got baptized, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for everybody that had a hand in that. When you praise God, it does many things. First of all, it strengthens your will to your strength will be renewed if you do that. In Psalms 103, 1 through 5, it brings God's presence. It brings victory. It satisfies the soul, and it repels depression. Depression when you're praising God. One could go on and on. I could encourage all of us to praise God more. To do it during the bad times also. Praise is never out of season for a Christian. Never out of season for a Christian. We need to praise the Lord all day long. Have you ever remember the cereal commercial? It's called Life Cereal, and there was a guy named Mikey, and the boys just were looking at the cereal like, "I don't know if I want to eat that. It don't look like something we'd want to eat." And then they say, "Let's get Mikey. He'll eat it." And then Mikey gets in. He starts in. He says, "Mikey, he likes it. He likes it." Well, can I say to you, praise the Lord. Encourage people to praise the Lord. You might like it. You might like it. Many of you, I'm sure, praise the Lord. This is to encourage you. But you that are not praising the Lord like you should. And after tonight, I hope you can see you're not praising the Lord like you should. And praise the Lord. Learn to do it. Encourage yourself. Get up in the morning, praise the Lord. Praise him all day. Praise him with your heart while you're working. Just praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and thank you for your truths. Dear Lord, we certainly want to be in the will of God. We certainly don't want the wrath of God on us. And Lord, that can void all that if we would just praise the Lord, stay in the word, and do what we're supposed to, dear Heavenly Father, and you will bless us in every way. Now, Lord, good times or bad times, help us to praise thee because you are worthy no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.